This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to Free Left Turn here on 89.0 Independent Community Media. Kia ora, Fred.
Morning.
Well, good morning, guys. Good morning. Nice sunny day for a change.
Yeah, what a surprise. What an awful heat, too. What an awful week as far as weather-wise. I don't know how many times I've been out and got wet socks to the backyard and feeding the rabbit and things like that.
Did you forget something like gumboots?
Oh, trouble was, it was quite puddly. I'm quite puddly, and if I said it would be fine, so you think, oh, that's all right. And my shoes, I've got two entrances to the house. Privileged enough to have two entrances to the house. I'm sorry, I have got
property
two entrances.
Tradesman entrance.
So I tend to wear my shoes one way and then go and come back in the other way.
You walk forwards and then backwards?
Something like that, yeah. I walk around, so I tend to go, where's my shoes? I'll be right.
They tend to do that across the Irish Sea at Christmas time.
Yeah. Do they?
Walking backwards to Christmas for Christmas.
Anyway, nice to have some sunshine and nice for the plants and the flowers. It is spring,
Weren't you wondering when we were coming up? Is daylight saving coming up soon?
Oh, yeah. When's that? Great year.
I think it's the start of October.
Oh, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Is it this weekend coming or the following?
Well, you've got the 29th next Friday.
It'll be this weekend.
Next Friday. It'll be the following week. So 2 weeks.
I reckon it'll be this weekend coming.
This weekend?
You
mean a week's time?
Next summer.
Yeah, there is, the school's got one more week.
That's my pick.
There's one more week of school in the holidays.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to happen in that second weekend.
We'll have a sweepstake.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Sweepstake I'm for next Sunday, just because the end of September. Yeah.
George Harris.
Hallelujah, I'm a tramp. Yeah. No, I'm not. we'll do our almanac, and then we'll talk about other things because there's quite a lot that's happened this week.
Woman's vote, I think, happened, didn't it? Didn't the woman get the right to vote in New Zealand?
1898,
at this time of the year?
It doesn't say in here, but I'll tell you what does say in here on this particular day, 21st. 1945, 200,000 coal miners in the USA went on strike in support of a supervisory employee's demand for collective bargaining.
Cool. Oh, my goodness.
The C word again.
Yeah. Bad word. Yeah. This was part of a wave of strikes in wake of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
I think World War II just finished.
Finishing,
Because they obliterated those two cities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By a defence force, they always call it defence. Defending themselves by attacking. Yeah, but never mind. Keep going.
Okay. 1976, and I think probably we probably all remember this one. Chilean socialist refugee Orlando Lea and think tank worker Ronnie Moffat were murdered in Washington, D.C. by a car bomb planted by Pinochet's secret police.
Yeah.
The killings by agents of the US-backed dictator were part of Operation Condor, a Latin American anti-communist program supported by the US,
which killed
up to 60,000 working-class militants, socialists and anarchists in Chile. But I think I recall that bombing because it was... I don't know if they ever found the culprits.
Well, it was in New York.
Washington D.C.
Washington, okay.
Yeah, it was an assassination.
Yeah,
I think the probably all at the connivance of the USA. Mm. Even though I think there was a US person, a US citizen killed in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Car bomb. Yeah. So that's from the almanac.
Mm.
I've got a few things here.
Yeah, okay. Go for it.
Police numbers.
Ah.
Ban of gang patching, or banning of gang patches. The rattling of Luxon's cage.
I've got a check shirt on. Does that count me out as a National Party man?
No.
No?
The frickin' comment. Oh, did anybody see that one?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, Cage definitely was rattled.
Yeah.
Didn't like being questioned about police numbers by a reporter.
Are we having more police numbers so we can go into homes and get gang members who wear their patch to bed to arrest them? Is that sort of the idea?
Kind of. Wow. I think.
So Hamilton's going to get an extra 35 officers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it going to go to the community beat teams? Does that mean they go around beating up people in the community?
Michael, what would your mother say of that comment?
gang disruption units and public safety teams.
Okay, so that sounds, the second one sounds like definitely for the voters, you know,
for
their voter base. Yeah,
it sounds like somebody sleeping soundly in their bed and getting dumped water over
so them. How big a policeman do you need to be, to be taking the patch off displacement team?
What was that second team, Mick?
Oh, the gang disruption unit.
Yeah, that must be about taking the patches off, is it?
I wonder how that works in Kaikoi.
Yeah, that's right. I wonder.
you do wonder, right? Because the late amendment, we were talking about this last week too, that the late amendment to the gangs bill after the select committee process had come to a halt. And the idea you could get picked up for wearing a patch in your own home or get picked up because someone else has got a patch in your home that you didn't know they had.
But it's my home. If I want to wear whatever I wear in my bedroom, why can't I?
Yeah, they
you're not publicly offending or intimidating anyone.
You're making a statement in your bedroom by wearing a patch.
Yeah, or whatever I want to wear. Yeah. You know, that's my business.
But it's a thin end of the wedge, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's sort of 1984. Yeah. It's sort of, you know, it's Dragonian now. Yeah, I mean,
at the moment, you could face a year in jail, according to this article.
Yeah, I just think you're in your own house. Whatever you wear in your own house, that's your business.
Even inside your car. Those are the other one. That was the one that was sneakily, as you said last week, Mick, snuck in.
Yeah. It's triggered an uproar from legal experts and opposition parties.
I have a little bit more sympathy for the car one because you can argue the point that they hop in a car, they go and see, they hop out to get bit, they're in public. I'm not agreeing with the law at all. I don't like it. But
it's a stinkle,
but in your own house, in my own house, I'm not in public, am I?
No.
I can leave the curtain open,
surely,
I guess.
The privacy of your own
home. Is it,
so that means if I leave the curtain home, I'll have an undercover policeman looking through my window?
I guess if the neighbours complain.
Oh, that's true. Well, there might be more than just a policeman looking through the window.
They won't have enough policemen to patrol just in case you might do that.
Well, and there'll be people, all jokes aside, how many people ring up and say, oh, I saw my neighbour wearing his patch, dobbing people in. Do the police really need to do all that sort of stuff? Sounds like East Germany in the, you know?
Yeah, the stars are,
The maximum, they're talking about the maximum fine, wearing a patch in public is 6 months in jail or a $5,000 fine.
But if you're in your own house, that's not in public.
No.
The lawyers will have a field day with it.
Yeah, they will.
You'd think they'll just throw it out.
The funny thing was on the news was they spoke to Harry Tam,
I saw that.
The person that Luxeter won't talk to for obvious reasons. I think it has to do with intelligence.
Yeah.
but Harry was sort of kind of saying that you're more likely to see people with gang patches on your articles on the news than in real life.
Yeah.
And I think I probably concur with that because the I think in the last year, I've only seen gang patches once on one day in Five Crossroads.
They're few and far between.
Five Crossroads.
Yeah, I've seen them when I've been on the roads. Yeah, guys going past, usually on motorbikes, but not necessarily what they call bad gangs. I've seen Christian groups go past with crosses on, and
are they going to be a target?
Well, technically, if you're going to say, what's a gang? What do you describe as a gang?
Yeah.
Oh, the Federated Farmers all wear check shirts. Oh, that's a gang emblem for National Party membership.
So you're saying it's down to interpretation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
One's a community and another's a gang.
How to describe... And people say, the gangs are intimidating. Well, imagine a rich landlord wearing his... Whatever he wears is intimidating to the tenant when they come in to put your rent up. I'm being facetious, of course, but...
You'll wear T-shirts got a political statement. Will that be an accident? No, if they disagree with the sentiments expressed in a T-shirt with a slogan on it, like, you know, Palestine or...
Yeah.
Yemen or whatever.
Yeah, that's true too, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, have you lost
so
your...
Where do you draw the line? Because it's a thin end of the wedge.
So if a political party comes door-knocking during election time, where's their rosette and whatever else, I'll just make a call to the police. I think there's a gang patch here.
Well, they do belong to a gang or a club or whatever, don't they? You know?
Yeah, it's a thin end of the wedge. Yeah.
We're not talking about necessary criminality, etc. Criminality in the sense of what they do to the poor, but that's another story.
Mm.
But, I just think, do the police...
Oh, they're going to have the resources because they're losing police as fast as they can recruit them.
Well, how big a cop do you have to be? Cop do you have to be?
Well, once upon a time...
Benny won't take his gang patch off.
Well, once upon a time, the standard for cops, the minimum height was over 6 foot.
Yeah.
That's now been squashed.
Yeah.
Literally, to people lower than 6 foot because they can't get the numbers, they can't get the recruits.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think in the houses, I just don't understand that one at all. I think
and like any law, you bring in for one particular issue, that can be applied somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And the word gang is rather...
It's a motive.
Generic.
Yeah, and it scores points with people who sit in the house quivering with the mention of the word gang, but... The word gang doesn't bother me. Like you, I very rarely see someone wearing colours on their motorbike or on their jacket, whatever.
And don't forget, the people who wear these patches or whatever else, they're human beings, you know. There's good and bad in all of us, whether you're wearing a patch or not.
It's almost like policing in the Minority Report. If you're wearing a patches, or you're likely to be someone who's going to commit a crime. So is that like premeditary policing?
Targeting,
where do you draw the line?
Yeah,
it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, I just think you go to Wairoa, you go to somewhere where there's a predominantly large gang populations, you're going to be a brave cop or two to tell them to take their patches off.
Yes.
And you imagine knocking on someone's door. Oh,
I see you're wearing a patch.
We've been reported you're wearing a patch, you know.
And?
How many police are they going to need to sort that out? So what will happen?
What will happen is
then police will turn a blind eye, which is a slippery slope as far as the law is concerned. Because then they go, well, I won't look at that. And I don't blame them. But then we won't look at that because, you know, that's too difficult. Yeah. And off it goes, you know.
Yeah.
Make sensible laws, and then the police have got a lot easier job to do.
I reckon they've added another $191 million to the budget for the policing.
So wonder where that money's come from.
Yeah, so...
Does that include the police wage rounds?
That's another argument too, isn't it?
I reckon $191 million for over 4 years to recruit and retain, that's good. For extra police, these extra police officers, and another 34.6 for in capital to equip them.
Yeah.
Nothing about salaries, eh?
Batons and tasers and guns, but nothing about salaries, eh?
No. Mm. I could see a few more looking at the brochure from Queensland and saying, I'll go there.
Yeah, it's mad to say that it's...
Which makes Luxative and PC Prod's words rather hollow around increasing numbers.
Yeah.
Well,
according to this article, the new clause means that if you're convicted of wearing a gang patch in a public place 3 times in 5 year period, a court will be required to hand down a gang insignia prohibition order. So they're telling the courts, you can.
Yeah.
And that's the slippery slope too, when the government of the day is now telling the judiciary what they can and can't do under the law.
That's
another slippery slope. And
Wouldn't we better to be spending all this money? I know I sound like a stuck record, and I know it's a socialist sort of attitude, but should I go on? Wouldn't it be better if we actually spent the money on trying to make sure Johnny and Mary and Marty and Rehana all have prospects for life and a house and a job and family,
ideally.
So they don't actually want to join a gang?
But unfortunately, that will cost more than what they're doing now.
What they think. It's what they think will cost more, but it's actually cheaper in the long run.
Yeah. Well, what you're talking about is a government with a vision who's addressing the root causes of criminality.
Oh,
visionary.
Yeah. I mean, I can still remember Jim Bolger saying there was no correlation between poverty and crime.
That's
all right from your sheep farm.
Was he living in his farm and then going off to Smugsville at the beach?
Probably, he was Prime Minister.
And talking to people at the country club?
So this idea that it's cheap seems cheap in the long run to impose more cops and recruit more cops rather than face social problems and make the time and the investment. They won't do it.
Well, create resentment. Which is already a lot in communities against the police, and then that makes poor policing, because when they do see someone does see something, they won't naturally go to the cops to report it or to be a witness.
Yeah, well,
because they've already got a prejudice.
Yeah,
you know?
Police floated several options in advice to Police Minister Mark Mitchell on March the 27th. Their concern was for gang members ignoring the ban on gang patches in public places, and they wanted a series of escalating penalties to deter this. And this gets back to the 6 months in jail with $5,000 fine. But the cabinet rejected that.
Mm. So I can go down Remuera, make myself up a little patch for my wool-lined jacket, which is not really wool, but synthetic. And if I get on Remuera and I can put, I'll put on, this is a gang patch, I should get arrested there, because it'll be, the phone calls will just race into the police station.
So you'll just put a patch on it and have those words, this is a gang patch?
This is a gang patch.
Like Haywood's hell.
I have to get a bit more original than that, you know.
I'll do what you said, Fred, this is a gang patch.
Yeah.
Brought to you courtesy of
advertising.
It's a slippery slope, though, right?
What about the Smugsville gang? You know, Smugsville gang.
They're seemingly of good character. That's why I used the word seemingly. Of good character.
Who was his name?
Is it seaman or seemingly?
You're putting words into my mouth, Fred.
What was his surname? I think it was Malcolm, wasn't it?
sorry, Mick's got me going.
A person with a surname of Malcolm wasn't a good character, wasn't he?
That's right. We're here.
But we won't go there.
It is definitely a slippery slope, though.
Yeah, I've got a client who's a member of a gang.
Yeah.
Or of a community.
Oh, no, he lives in the community. He doesn't work in the suburb they were working, but he's my client in my role. So
still a human being, Craig.
What happens if he shows up to work or to my place of work with his gang patch on?
Are you complicit if you don't tell him to take it off?
Who knows?
I could say I'm visually impaired.
Well, you got to be a policeman, you know. You got to be a policeman in Kaikou. I see nothing.
Or they're expecting members of the public to guide people in.
I'm not.
Well, that's the same.
Should I?
And that's echoes of Stasi, doesn't it?
Well, the courts have no gang patches.
When neighbours dob other neighbours because they've seen, you know.
We know that.
And it covers a host of multitude of sins when you dob someone just because you got pissed off.
But I've got my red scarf on and my red hat, and I've got a red car.
I think you're right until you've got the hammer and sickle sewn on. All seriousness, this is bad, eh?
This is seriously bad.
Well, but it's plain to the voter base.
Yeah.
You know,
little old ladies are terrified.
This government got elected on the race card. You know?
And law and order and blah, blah, blah.
So-called law and order.
Yeah. All ties in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So another thing that I picked up, and it came from Democracy Now.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I basically wrote it like this. Authoritarian Western governments and harsh punishment for environmentalists who protest against government inaction when it comes to climate change.
Oh, Germany.
Germany is one of them.
That, five years you can get for...
Yeah, Britain and those people who want to block that road?
Yeah, you know, gluing themselves to the road and disrupting traffic. Yeah. 5 years for doing that, but less for rioting a few months later when...
Over race.
That was an article...
In Germany, they're classed as terrorists.
What's up with the Germans?
This is coming from the alternative for Germany, you know, far right, neo-Nazis.
Yeah.
And another thing that is actually connected to all that, when we talk about far right, is a comment made by a person on Doubleday News. I think he was a Jewish editor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he was saying that there was main comments around about Mossad infiltrating European far right parties.
The guy Hearst, was his name Hearst or something like that? The editor, the guy that spoke W R News?
Yeah.
I did watch it, yeah.
Yeah, and he made
it... It was very good.
There was one person who was exposed, I think it was Dutch government.
Dutch government,
He was a Mossad mole.
But isn't it the irony where the far right, we had a traditional thing of being known as strongly anti-Semitic, etc.
And now they have become
strong allies with Israel.
And
that's just weird. But he reckons that, okay, they're buddies now, but eventually they will turn back.
They'll turn on each other.
But who knows? They might not.
What they do is just feeding into this anti-Islamist rhetoric.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And these plants are sort of encouraging it.
Once
they resolve the Islam problem, then they'll turn on each other.
Yeah. He was saying that basically they've turned from being against the Jews, anti-Semitic, picking on the Jews. So, Islamic people are easier targets.
Yeah.
And so, the common enemy,
yeah. So
join forces.
So they've left the Jews alone, and they're into the Arab. Well, basically, they're into the Arabs. How they refer them, yeah.
And that goes into the recent news of booby trap pagers and walkie talkies.
Oh yeah. In Lebanon.
Yeah, and a blatant breach of international law because.
Well, yeah. How will you look at it? And John Minto would probably say it better than I can, but he would say, if you think it's wrong or whatever else, you put it the other way around and say, Hezbollah sets off charges in Jewish reservists in the occupied territories, etc.
Hue and cry.
How big would the noise be, justifiably, about the terrorism goes on?
Double standard.
It would be huge. Yeah. The Western world's been relatively quiet on it all.
Yeah, they're saying that where it becomes a problem is when you target when people who are not the intended targets become the victims.
Mm. Well,
like doctors, for example, children, for example.
Yeah.
Well, and let's face it, the go back to Gaza. You know, there's two freedom fighters run into a building, and Israel takes the building out, knowing full well
it's other people
there's 100 civilians in there.
Yeah,
you know. But it's a disgusting. It's a disgusting low down trick. It just goes further and further to despicable tactics.
And I looked on stuff where they said where their pages were from. They were from Hungary.
Yeah, well, this obviously got into the supply chain somewhere.
Yeah, and they pointed to this particular building where these things were made.
Yeah, but a real blow to Hezbollah and its thing. But it is terrorism. Because it's indiscriminate, you know, it's just...
Yeah, we're not in hospitals.
It's amazing how that label gets switched around depending on who's involved in it.
In the narrative,
if it was the other way around, the whole world would be condemning it with what a dirty trick.
Mm. Yeah,
but it's not the other way around. So, they're Hezbollah, they're Arabs, they're Muslims.
They don't seem to count.
They don't count.
Yeah, I think one of the targets was the Iranian... ambassador to, I think, Lebanon, I think, wasn't it?
Someone in his group had one.
And he got blinded in one eye,
Well, that's the tragedy. People, anyone looked at it, the eye injuries, you know, there'd be people maimed, not just dead, there'd be people maimed.
That's what I was saying, there were a number of fatalities, but there were also a significant amount of maiming.
Yeah. There's 200 or 300 that are critically wounded. So, you know, that's legs and eyes
and arms and stuff like that, yeah.
But it's just incredible. Like, you get back to, you know, Germany and treating people who are protesting about lack of environmental change, getting 5 years.
Yeah.
Treated as terrorists.
Yeah.
And you get this sort of stuff.
And we're not going to say anything because it's the Israeli army. You know, it's the good guys.
It'd be a dirty Mossad trick, I'd say.
Yeah, but I know people who have been relatively quiet on the whole Palestinian thing and have sort of backed Israel.
Do you mean our leadership?
Yeah, but they've actually haven't thought this was awful, a dirty tactic that the Israelis did. They said that's just not.
Well, it breaches international law. That's what they say. Intended targets were, as the Hezbollah and Hamas. Mm. Unintended targets were the majority of the people who died.
Yeah,
it's pretty bad.
Can I just stick on to that one?
There's been
some positives, though, in the whole Palestine-Israel thing, apart from the fact that it looks like Israel's going to have a war with Lebanon to get more territory so they can create another buffer zone to protect their citizenship that are on occupied territory, but that's another story.
Yeah.
The positives are that New Zealand backed the UN resolution to end the unlawful presence in the occupied territories.
Good.
That was a real positive, and that was...
It's taken a long time.
Yeah, and they still sort of said, oh, well, we didn't like the fact you've only got a year, they've only got a year to get out of those territories. They said it's unrealistic, which may be, but they still backed it. On the negative side of that, so New Zealand backed it, I'm talking about the South Pacific, New Zealand backed it, the Solomon Islands backed it, the Marshall Islands backed that resolution.
Right.
Guess who voted against it?
Oh, US, UK.
Well, them, but in the Pacific.
Australia.
Fiji, Nauru, Papua New Guinea, Palau, Tuvalu and Tonga all voted against that resolution.
There'd be US influence in there.
Mm. Well,
Palau, for example.
I read an article this morning, I can't remember who it was, but Israel has, surprise, has been giving quite large aid to these island nations. And combined with that, and the evangelical movements in the islands, and you know, very church Christian people who tend to take the Bible literally. So it's like the chosen people and
you
all that.
You mean conservative?
Yeah. So
narrow-minded bigots.
Well, yeah. So it's like the Israelis can do no wrong. And there's been, they've struggled, some of them, but that just shows you how big an influence that Israel's managed to get in, probably via America, as you say, Craig. And whether there's any suitcases of cash from the Americans or anyone else to...
Can you run those islands again, Pus?
Fiji, Nauru, Papua New Guinea, Palau, Tuvalu and Tonga.
We know Tuvalu is part of the Micronesia group, and there's the Marshall Islands are in there, and they were largely occupied by...
But New Zealand, Solomon Islands and Marshall Islands voted for the resolution.
Marshall Islands, that's unusual, because Marshall Islands came under that bloody...
And guess who abstained was our bend-over mates Aussies, and Samoa, Kiribati and Vanuatu abstain. Now, if you look at the history of those, who do they all belong to? Vanuatu is
French.
With the French vote, of course, they didn't support. Kiribati. Who did Kiribati belong to?
That's Gilbert and Ellis Islands. Yeah. That was British, the former British colony here.
Yeah. Samoa and Aussie. But there is a religious, that Christian fundamentalist flows through all the islands.
Was it just Western, what we call the old Western Samoa?
It just says Samoa, so it didn't say whether it was American Samoa.
Because you think of US Samoa.
Yeah,
so it's interesting that countries have tended to either
former colonised people.
Who really got knocked around by colonisation and died in their thousands.
Have complied and bent over.
That's their right. It's democracy, but it just shows you the influence that's floating around.
You think those people would have voted to get
Yeah, and that's what I felt sad was, because Helen Clark was addressed to the UN and this week as well, she did a lovely speech. So I recommend it. She represented the Council of Elders or something. It's called. Right. And she said countries need to put aside their friends and their allies and their buddy buddies and vote on what's right and wrong, etc.
Because definitely what's going on is wrong.
and of course, what's happened is all countries have just lined up behind whoever they bend over for.
Yeah,
with the biggest suitcase of cash.
Well, yeah, does it happen? You know, and like I say, these islands are recipients of aid. And all countries do it, to be fair. You know, China does aid. China tends to do projects to help countries. America tends to use, what does America use?
Cash
and
dollars.
Gun. So anyway, that was so good on Helen Clark. I recommend people look it up. She did a very good speech. I was impressed.
So what was the voting numbers on the resolution?
It was about 40 abstained or voted against, and 124 voted for.
Something like 190 members, aren't they?
Yeah. I think 14 voted for against completely or whatever.
So about a third each way then, a third abstained, third voted against.
No, it got carried. It's not binding. Right. It was 120 something supported the resolution to tell the Israelis to leave, to get out of there because it's unlawful. And but then there's the usual block of big hitters that abstained. Britain, I think, abstained, like Australia. Yeah, which is sad because the Brits helped cause all this mess.
Well, didn't they make an announcement? I think the foreign minister, the Labour foreign minister, I think it was yesterday, it was on Al Jazeera, that they now want a ceasefire.
Yeah, well, they've been asking for a ceasefire.
It's kind of platitude, though. It's not like reinforced. Yeah. No consequences if you don't stop
your... Well, they've sort of started to slow up the arms supplies to Israel, but the damage has been done as far as the poor old Gazans are concerned, But, yeah, interesting. So the world's shifting, but it's still been very... it's still not there. And you think that... I say, listen to Helen Clark, but her just argument was... It's not about who your friends are, it's what's right or wrong, you know?
Yeah, what's right or wrong.
But no, we haven't gone down there, so,
We don't.
Unfortunately.
And I say the Israelis don't seem to have any interest in stopping or being respectful to international law or anything else. They are thriving on the three tenets of their basic of the entitlements, was the chosen ones, victimhood, and... what do you call it? Dehumanisation of the Arab populations.
Victimhood is a what would you call that? It is a trite, banal card, overused, and should be put away.
Yeah, and everyone's, even the anti-Semitic thing, everyone's so sick of it. Mm. So it doesn't have the same weight as it had because everything, according to the Israeli, everything's anti-Semitic.
Mm.
We're having this discussion as anti-Semitic.
You know,
it's just... Anyone who says anything, it was a 2016, New Zealand voted for the UN for another resolution about Palestine, and it was Netanyahu came out and said, well, you may as well be, it's the declaration of war. You remember that?
I vaguely remember that.
You know, this is the Israel. They squeal. They just squeal when it doesn't go their way.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to understand that the harm they're doing to their image, do they ever want to participate in travelling or anything else? They themselves and their actions have caused so much harm to the Jewish name.
Yeah.
And that's a tragedy in itself. So, yeah.
If they get travel, those ones, they get picked up if they land in the wrong country, I'd say.
Well, or even New Zealand,
dual citizenship, so they might travel on a different passport.
Plenty we're doing that.
Somebody works it out. Yeah.
Israel is just a law unto itself, but of course it's a war. It generates money as well and profits for those sitting in the big houses.
Although their economy's not doing well because it's on Al Jazeera this week that they've been. A body that assesses countries' credit rating.
Yeah,
it's been downgraded.
Yeah,
I think there was a number of companies or businesses in Israel that have collapsed or gone broke.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the big players in the world.
Oh, yeah,
the 1 to 10%. They make their money not out of so much having the factory, having shares in the factory, or having shares in the munitions companies, etc. So, America's booming. I can tell you what's booming. I made a small donation the other day. Finally, went through to a little charity, a non-profit in America. And I donated. I thought I was donating $50 American. I ended up I donated $45 American, and it cost me $68 or something. You know,
because of the exchange rate.
For the exchange rate and then commissions, etc. So American dollars are very strong. You know, see why it's the superpower. See why they're so obsessed with holding with holding on to the hegemonic number one ship. So
So what was it? What was the donation for?
Oh, it's for American Prairie. It's this,
I've talked about it before.
Ends, sort of
and but what they've done, it's up in Montana, and there's been opposition to them because there's only four grassland, big grasslands left in the world. One of them is in Russia somewhere. One of them is the steppes somewhere, and one of them is in Mongolia.
Yep.
One of them is Patagonia in South America somewhere.
Argentina,
And this other one in America. What they call short grass prairie grass, which hasn't been ploughed, because most of America's, a lot of America's been under the plough for farming, etc.
Yeah.
So what they're trying to do is get a big enough land area, and it's up in the Montana, and it's next to a couple of big reserves that are, and they're trying to assemble 3.5 million acres or 5 million acres of some of that being state land and state parks, and they're trying to join the dots,
the land areas between.
So that wildlife has got a big enough area that it can do its normal migrations all year round and not just hit a fence and have to turn around and go back again.
Yeah.
And so they've worked out scientifically they need this huge area of land. But they've already got, 750,000 acres already or something. So that, you know, farms come up. But there's been opposition to them because the cowboys and the cattle ranchers have been a bit hostile to them, to say the least, and even governments because they don't think it's changing their way of life. But this organisation, it is a non-profit. They still allow, they actually open more lands to hunting, etc.
Isn't there something about domestic cattle aren't integrated with the with the cycle, the ecology, whereas bison, they're part of the whole ecological setup.
And they would cross the border, isn't it, between Canada and...
Bison also, they open up the land, which means it's better for the invertebrates and seeding and all this. But there's all sorts of rules in place that bison are still thought of as livestock, not wild.
They're wild,
and so there's all these rules that this organisation, American Prairie, has had to work its way through. But they get in there, and they get a lot of support. So if you look it up, folks, American Prairie, and I've watched it. There's a couple of live cams, for wet weather, you sit there and you can see the prairie and what goes past and all that. And I've seen a deer and a couple of doe swimming across the river and all that sort of thing.
So that's where the First Nation people of those areas would cross between the borders.
And that's right. And of course, the First Nations, they're involved with the First Nations people up in the belt. And there's a reservation. They've finally got some land beside, because the idea is they're going to join all these together and try and make a big area of free roaming land.
I think that's Sioux and Blackfeet. I think.
Yeah, there's quite a lot. It's like Māori. There's a sort of First Nations people, and then of course they break up into iwi, and then all hapu.
That's what I'm thinking.
And people say, oh, they've got a reservation, but these reservations, there's nothing on them. They were just open land, and they put them up there, but thinking, so unless they put a casino there or found an oil well, it was very hard for the indigenous populations to survive. And they got rid of the buffalo. There was some famous American said, get rid of the buffalo, we'll get rid of the Indians. You know, and it was still quoted right up until quite recently.
Yeah, I don't know who that would be. I don't think it would be William Cody. I don't think he would say that.
That was the mindset.
From that time,
Wipe out the buffalo and wipe out the Indians.
Which they nearly did. Yeah. And that's been the other trouble for the buffalo, the bison, of course, is how to the genetics and the, what do you call it, genetic bottleneck, because you haven't got enough of them to breed. So what they've done, this American Prairie has been part of it and others, is they've been... Because America's a big place. Bits of herds around to try and keep that genetics more open until they get big enough numbers.
I think there would be cooperation with the other country, isn't it?
It's nice to read something and see something in America that's a positive, such a big dream.
Our show's rather negative about USA, but there are a lot of aspects of the USA, yeah. which we should
and just be. As a nice story, that I got it, I sent to them saying, no, I finally managed to support you. I had a bit of trouble with my bank, etc., allowing it to go through. But the lady went back to me, no, dear Fred, thank you for your donation and da-da-da. I've been in Hamilton, she said, years ago, when I was young, years ago, I stayed with a friend and who went to the Waikato University.
Okay.
So a small world, she said.
We're very
lovely country, lovely people. I said, I didn't want to break a bubble, so I just let it go.
There's things on YouTube that you'd watch that is US based and which we probably all enjoy, but as I say, it's dominated by all the other stuff.
And there are a lot of Americans that are just aren't involved in it all. But their political system's just a mess.
Yeah, it's a shambles, to be frank.
Yeah.
What else you got there, Mick?
Well, I see that this is an article appearing on Monday. Teachers were worried about their plan. Teacher relief plan worries the PPTA.
Yeah.
This is the government. They're going to introduce, because there's a shortfall in teachers, they're going to allow unregistered leavers to take up the slack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Government want to fast track the registration for relievers?
Yes. Teaching that council will loosen eligibility criteria for limited authorities to teach, otherwise known as LATs. To allow previously registered teachers to receive a LAT. A LAT enables those without a teaching qualification to teach in positions where there is a need for specialist skills or skills that are in short supply. And the Education Minister, Erica Stanford, said this is a short-term measure in response to relief teacher shortage that's preventing children from being in the classroom. However, the PPTA President, Chris Abercrombie, said the government's ad hoc response meant students wouldn't be taught by trained and qualified subject specialist teachers.
Yeah, that's what they were fearing.
Very few of these relievers will be across the new requirements for the implementation of Level 1 NCEA or the New English Maths Curriculum or Structured Literacy Delivery. Some teachers without practice and certificates won't have taught for well over 3 years. And he also points out that the cold hard fact is that there are thousands of highly skilled and experienced teachers in Aotearoa New Zealand today who would come back to school next week if the salaries and conditions were better.
Yeah.
So they've got teachers there, but they're not coming forward because of the paying conditions.
I mean, pay's not bad. The conditions are pretty good for teachers. They've got a tough job, and we should pay them. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we overpay them.
They're also having to be social workers too.
Well,
so teachers.
And some of the deciles, though, it's hard work. But you do get a lot of holidays.
But he's saying that Abercrombie, who's the president, says that also cited the double standard of the government pouring hundreds of millions of dollars into charter schools while severely underfunding the public education system. We'll end up with a two-tier education system. Yeah. And I'm also worried that some less than desirable people might sneak in through the door.
Well, the ideology, just like charter schools,
be vetted as.
Yeah.
Because you don't want some undesirable.
So I can go and teach Te Reo Māori, but I'm also a socialist.
You might be a mechanic, and then you might go. Might know someone at the school. Oh, Fred's a mechanic. He can teach mechanics.
Yeah, but I'm also a socialist. So they probably wouldn't like that.
Their fear that a number of these relief teachers are not up to speed, as I say.
They are just babysitting sometimes.
We've had them in my when I was at school. We had them.
Yeah.
And if a teacher was away, they would just monitor the class while the teacher and just get, your teacher wants you to do this.
Yeah, can you?
And
do
they just supervise them to complete.
Yeah, that's all they do.
Yeah. They weren't really teaching as such.
Yeah.
Yeah, but some of the students run rings.
Oh, of course they do. They smell blood.
Yeah, that's what
they knew.
Yeah.
And that was a sort of disruption. And some of them were probably out of the classroom probably for more than 20 years.
Mm.
Yeah.
And not all teachers can teach.
We got a friend, Mick and I both know, and she does some part, is retired, but she still does, comes in.
You're talking about who, aren't I?
And she just comes, so they ring her up, and she said it helps add to her pension,
But I think
she's doing that part-time now, so.
Yeah.
But she's a special needs school, it's a pool of about 10 kids who've got severe challenges.
It's quite common for people who, and you don't blame them, you're retired and you've still got those skills.
I mean, it should be quite stressful in this day and age.
Yeah, on call, etc.
Well, plus you can't discipline or bring up a kid for misbehaving because the parents get up in arms and you're picking on little Johnny or so and so, and they can't. The kids that run riot.
But if he's got a school logo on and he's been naughty, is that a gang badge?
Well, he's a school badge, a member of a community or a gang.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's all a matter of context.
Yeah.
And on a slightly more chuckle notes, how much do our mayors actually earn? And here we go. Wayne Brown is the highest paid at $306,000. His deputy earned $168,000. Christchurch Mayor Phil Mugg earned $207,000. His deputy earned $140,000. Our mayor, where is she? Farno was the second highest paid mayor in the country with $189,000, followed by Hamilton Mayor, $187,000.
Oh, yeah.
And then it goes down, smaller the mayor, then the wages go down.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the bottom is.
Well, yeah, mate. There's a handful of mayors who earn under 110.
Yeah.
Including Carterton or...
Yeah, and the small towns.
That's a small town. Yeah,
that's a small town, so it's proportionate. But it's interesting, though, how much they pick up.
Yeah. And no, I don't care what they get paid, you know, like in a way, as long as they pay some tax.
Mm.
Yeah. When you earn that and then they have some sort of other thing that they can push all their money into, which is perfectly legal. I'm not saying they're doing anything illegal, but, you know, you do that and you buy a farm as well and you pour your money into it and you end up, you're not actually paying much tax.
Mind you, I'm a bit disappointed now, man, because he's going along with this idea that we have to have separate water bills. We should talk about last week.
The thinning of the wedge.
Which I think is the precursor for meters and privatisation.
And poor investment.
Poor investment infrastructure.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I know I think most mayors, they work quite hard. They get lots of politics to deal with, etc. So I don't have a problem so much with what they earn.
Well, I see that Councillor Bidder, is it Bider? He's been in the news for...
The wrong reasons.
For the wrong reasons, and he's claiming that he could arrest the deputy mayor, which I think is Angela... I can't remember the name.
O'Leary.
Yeah. He's just full of it, isn't he?
Well, he was nasty, but he was
real nasty.
He was calling a particular mayor or a particular council those words that we shouldn't really be using.
But anyway, you know, it's democracy, and they, they decide that. And there is. I think I talked to Louise Hutt or something, and she's a councillor, and she said the amount of reading they have to do each week is to do their job properly.
Well,
is immense, and they should. They do get. Even a councillor, what's a councillor get paid? 70 or 80 grand? You know, it's a reasonable salary, certainly a lot more than a minimum wage.
It's certainly intensive, though, isn't it?
But there's a lot, if you do your job right,
there's a lot of work.
There's a lot of work.
That
goes councillors, mayor, deputy mayor, and head of committees, etc. Just like a teacher, teacher does the job right, there's a lot of work.
Here's an interesting one on your mayoral thing there, Mick. South Wairarapa had one of the biggest salary gaps between its mayor and its deputy. The mayor was earning $109,000, while the deputy was on just $37,000.
Wow, that's a big gap, isn't it?
Yeah.
What was the rationale for that?
Doesn't really say.
Yeah, maybe just doesn't. Deputy doesn't do much.
Did the deputy get paid?
Doesn't do much. Well, it'd definitely be similar to what a councillor gets paid, maybe.
Yeah, I suspect.
It's a small council, I suppose.
Yeah, so that's a rural setting.
It might just be, you know, it's like our deputy prime, our prime minister, someone stands in when someone's away, you know. It's not full-time role, it's just a keep seat warm.
Yeah. I think there's big differences in, differences in Clutha, Central Otago and Buller.
Yeah.
And the mayors say we're short of funding for transport. Mayors from Waikato, the regional council, the gap for four large Waikato councils is more than $100 million. And the mayors say that rules out things like new bus routes for growing areas and footpath maintenance.
Oh,
yeah. Transport Minister Simeon Brown talked earlier this month of a record $1.9 billion for transport investment in the Waikato. But, yeah, if there's a short funding in for buses, just when they've... open up the airport to international travel, and they're expanding the city, blah, 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 where are you going to get the bus routes?
Wonder where most of the investment is going into. It's that five-letter word that starts with R.
One of them, there was an article that is going on. A lot of it's going to one particular highway, but I couldn't. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't say it in there. But she's saying, well, the missing funds would have paid for road and footpath and safety improvements, things like that.
Safety
and public transport improvements.
Because there's been this big emphasis by this current government on roads.
Yeah, yeah. Here we go. 1.9 million for the national NLTP. What's that? National something transport.
Land transport.
Body or P. Anyway, it was a record noted that the government's commitment to build two new roads of national significance in the region. State Highway 1, Cambridge to Pahire. Is that
Pahire.
And Hamilton Southern Links. So they'd be like peacocks and going that direction. Yeah.
But why the talk should be really not about more roads, what about an integrated transport system?
Hamilton is a growing city.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to have roads clogged up with cars, you're going to have public transport.
Yeah. But you need a visionary thinking on transport system.
Sort of long term.
You said it. It's not going to happen.
Not
visionary long term.
Yeah, because the biggest stink about roads was in the Tararua district over the replacement road for the Manawatu Gorge.
Yeah.
And where our so-called Minister of Transport was saying that road should be tolled, while the residents were saying, well, it's a replacement road, it's not a new road.
That's right.
And it shouldn't be tolled.
Which is user pays, of course, but it's still a slippery slope in it. User pays. Oh, cut my foot off. Oh, you can go get it fixed if you pay for it.
But again, our so-called Minister of Transport has what we call this wet dream about this tunnel in Wellington.
Yeah.
Going ahead. And how much is it going to cost?
Yeah.
Who's going to pay for that?
Yeah.
Oh, it won't be them.
We the people.
We the people.
Yeah, but that doesn't even fit into the mould of...
And there's people that can't drive a car,
I'm totally relying on public transport.
Don't have a car, can't afford it, don't drive, disabled, lots of reasons.
Lots of reasons.
And which, in a good society, we should be looking after our most vulnerable.
But in this society, we appear not to be.
No, that's right. I've got a couple of things. First, and I've got three things.
Mm-hmm.
The ferry. I see another ferry. This time wasn't the Kiwi Rail ferry.
Blue Bridge
ferry drifted around the Cook Strait.
Okay.
Mm. Middle of the night. Luckily, it was calm. But there goes the show. Come on, government, you're playing with disaster here. You know,
was it people on the on?
Yeah, there was only 88. But of course, luckily there was no wind and it was a calm sea, so it wasn't being pushed towards shore.
Lucky.
Okay. So and they got stuff out to it to tow it back to thing. So it's not just Kiwi Rail. We need to work this out. The North Island is connected to the South Island, which is connected to Stewart Island, which makes up Aotearoa New Zealand.
We could have been well on the way to have sorted the problem out if they hadn't scrapped the previous scheme.
Yeah, that's right. So that's that one. The other one is jury trials. I see the government, which I give them tip my hat to them, they're seeking feedback before October the 10th or whatever on lifting the rules around who can have a jury trial or not, which I'm all for.
Right.
We went from 6 years ago, we had 2,000 jury trials sitting waiting to be had. We now have got 3,400 sitting to be held and had.
Jeez.
There must be a heck of a backlog.
Yeah, well, exactly. But, the trouble's at present, you have a maximum of 2-year penalty and then you can have a jury trial.
Yeah.
And Simon Power, who was in that, and he tried to push it years ago that they should be 5 years and you shouldn't be allowed to have gang trials or long trials shouldn't be allowed to be done in front of a jury, et cetera.
Hence
the guy who's up for murder or whatever his wife.
Do what they do in Europe, have a panel of judges.
Yeah,
one judge.
I'll go back. I think they're right. Jury trials are offset, so I'll put a feedback in. But I just think we got to move on from this because the lawyers go,
they're making money.
Oh, no, it's about civil rights this.
It's about making money.
When
they'll lose, lawyers always pocket the money.
Yeah, like if they do it voluntary, I say keep the system. But if there's a lot of money to be made in a jury trial.
Case in point, you've got that surgeon who's been on trial at the moment. I mean, he's he's accused of. So, but that's dragged on for, was it 4 weeks now?
They're doing the deliberations. Yeah, this week coming, you know.
Yeah,
that must have cost a fortune.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The jury to the state, to we the people.
Us. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The jury are out, and they're not allowed to discuss it during the weekend.
And it's not the jury that does the big cost.
No.
It's the lawyers and the judges.
And the prep. And to be fair, they have to prep the cases and all
and
that.
If they have any special witnesses or expertise.
But none of them are doing it for free.
No.
The cheapest people to get paid is the poor old jurors.
So judge only trials. They're a judge for a reason.
And I think, you know, the trouble is, 2 years maximum. But there's a lot of people you can get apply for a jury trial. They haven't done much wrong. They're not going to get a jail sentence anyway.
Yeah, they're going
to. Even if they're found guilty.
So why did you speed up the process?
Why are they allowed a jury trial? You know?
It's just ridiculous.
The civil rights people go, in a small society, yes, you can understand.
But not now.
But we've moved on, I think.
The people are more capable these days.
Yeah, and the judges, that's what they're there for, you know. There's appeals, you know, if a judge gets it wrong, someone else comes in and looks at it.
Yeah.
I've got one more.
Yep.
The Treaty Principles Act, David Seymour and pushing it around. And I'm okay with them talking about it. Yeah. I think New Zealanders, we're very ignorant in general about the treaty, about what happened, about the whole colonisation bit and everything else. But what I say to people, rather than go, oh, they meant this or they meant that or they meant this, everyone's got an opinion about what they meant.
Interpretation,
etc. But what people should do first is go to the New Zealand history.government.nz and read the. It's quite simple to read. And also tiara.government.nz, which is the New Zealand Encyclopedia. And get some background before people, because it sounds like one person, one vote. All that sounds fine.
But people, they just want easy soundbite solutions. They don't want to think about it.
But what we have to remember is that the Māori owned all, didn't necessarily own it, they occupied all the land, and it ended up, how much do they occupy now?
Bugger all.
And their populations were decimated and all that.
Uh-huh.
So there's a bit more to it than just that's a simple thing. In an ideal world, yes, one person, one vote. But we used our prejudice in the European side of things. We used our prejudice
to stack
to punish Māori and to get their land. And it still happens.
We still do.
Hence, Māori trying to get on council, elected to councils and all that.
Yeah.
Without the Māori wards.
That was difficult.
It was a struggle.
Yeah. Treaty principles, Bill, yes.
Yeah, so, but I do like the fact that we're discussing it.
Yeah, it should be discussed.
Yeah. And, but
I agree with any, it should be up to public debate.
Yeah, and I do think, and I've said this before, I do think Luxon is playing this, it's like the councillor saying, we all voted to keep Māori wards. I think Luxon says, we'll get rid of it. We'll get rid of the treaty principle. We won't vote it through after the first reading. But as membership, we'll be thinking other things.
If
anyone's been to a National Party members' meeting, etc.,
did you have to inoculate yourself?
Oh, no, I just wore a check shirt. I was fine, just walked in the door. Part of the gang, mate.
You're a fifth columnist.
As long as you wear a check shirt.
Definitely,
yeah. Yeah, and I wore a little, even as a joke, I put my, one of those hankies with a little pointed thing on, that the people wear when they go out to dinner, dinner jackets, they have a pointed handkerchief.
A handkerchief.
Yeah,
a kerchief. Well, the upper class, something else.
Kerchief.
Yeah, so you have, so I even put that in and wore a little scarf. I fit it in just fine.
Definitely a fifth columnist.
You'd have to go into that marketing of, I'm a member of a gang.
Yeah. But you don't have to do that long to go into any of those meetings to hear some pretty prejudicial comments come out.
Yes.
So Luxon's playing, he's trying to pretend he's the good guy.
He hasn't got hope in hell.
Yeah.
Not after that comment he made.
Yeah.
Where his cage was rattled.
Yeah.
and he wouldn't answer the question, would he?
No, he wouldn't. No, he doesn't. He sort of sidesteps it.
We're out of time.
We're out of here.
See you next week.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.